This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Another reason I've sort of been a little bit more giddy than usual today that we haven't discussed that isn't Grizzlies draft night tonight and isn't this story from Dennis Dodd about what the AAC is trying to do to the Big 12, or at least what Bob Bowlsby says they're trying to do. I'm just going to say, I've heard this name associated with the third assistant spot over at Memphis.
What you got?
And usually, again, third assistant spot. What did Larry Veach say? I've never seen anywhere where they get this excited about assistants. Now, that was Larry Brown. And this would be the third assistant, which we've discussed before. Could include names like Todd Day and some others. Jermaine Johnson right now. Penny hasn't made it official or not of whether he plans to bring back Jermaine Johnson. What he said is that Jermaine was on a one-year deal, and he had a decision to make, although it seems didn't see any photos of Jermaine on the road with the team when it came to Peach Jam. You saw Rodney Hamilton out with Larry Brown, the director of basketball operations, and not Jermaine. So it continues to look like, and again, nothing's been made official, it doesn't appear, but that Jermaine Johnson won't be back, that 1 year will remain 1 year. Again, Penny's had an entire summer to renew that, has not done it. Not to mention this name that I'm going to tell you a little later.
You got a name for us on this third assistant?
Different than that typical, Todd Day, Faraji Phillips, the former former Mitchell and Whitehaven coach who Penny's got had a great high school rivalry with, great respect for, had been at Vanderbilt. Okay. Those names were the ones we were used to. Got a new
name. You have a new name. We have not heard him on the show.
Would make a lot of sense. We're gonna get to that.
Can't wait
later.
For this.
All right.
Right.
We're in rundown, right?
Have we are. Really,
all right.
We're
all right.
Now, it's the rundown.
That helps me reset. I'm so giddy.
Lewis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John.
Let's go with
92.9 FM ESPN.
We'll go with what's already out there.
We're giddy, Jason.
Big 12 believes Americans attempting to grab 8 remaining members with Texas and Oklahoma leaving for SEC. It's a big story.
Yeah.
And it's written by Dennis Dodd over at CBS Sports. Bob Bowlsby made it clear. He thinks ESPN meddling. First off, you help Texas and Oklahoma. You want that to happen because you've got those. You help them do it. Now you're trying to tear us apart. You're telling the AAC, according to Bob Bowlsby, the commissioner of the Big 12, you're telling the AAC that they should take the remaining 8 members once you've moved Texas and Oklahoma over to the SEC. So Bob Bowlsby, again, is mad. And I would tell you this is probably karma. Bowlsby's had this kind of coming for a long time, hasn't he? The way he's dealt them an expansion last time around and all that kind of stuff. And it's easier for us to say that from a Memphis angle, around the program that wasn't even included as a finalist of 5 years ago for what was essentially a sham, the expansion, potential expansion back 5 years ago. But anyway, we never looked at Bowlsby and said, we love some Bob Bowlsby. Yeah. It feels like, at least from our perspective, he's had this coming for some time. And listen, here's the difference.
Is it the arrogance? Is that why? Is that kind of why we're there? You know, just we're the Big 12 and y'all are just everything else.
That's part of it, is his arrogance, but partly too of how they view, at least, or how they have shown to view Memphis previously. And again, you talk about now he's trying to hold on to something. You know, he wants to make it tough for Texas and Oklahoma. Okay, well, you make it as tough as possible. You can hire all the lawyers possible, but that's going down.
Right.
SEC wants it to happen, and not to mention Texas and Oklahoma are going to make it happen. Like, that's no matter how long you try to prolong that, by 2025, you're not going to be able to do a dang thing about it. So those are your powers. You drop down to the eight you got. Mm-hmm. Here's the question. Is that going to be enough? He's saying it is, but it feels like spin. And that's what you would say, Brad, if you were the boss of that.
He's trying to
keep
his job.
You would say, we'll be fine. Yeah. Yes, he's trying to keep his job, trying to remain remain relevant. There's no question about it. And this new news, though, that if the AAC, led by one Mike Oresko, could pull in the other eight schools from the Big 12, the remaining eight schools after Texas and Oklahoma, man, would you have something then. No, you wouldn't have what the SEC would have once it adds Texas and Oklahoma, but you would have a pretty darn good thing in what would be, essentially, I've worked this out, if I'm not mistaken, would be a 20-team league with 19 playing on both sides, football and basketball. And obviously all of this is driven by football. Now, some, you know, whether it's Kansas, who might, you know, think the Big Ten might be a more attractive option, or some Iowa State, who might say, clearly have some other suitors, what you'll have to fight is it better for us to go as a whole to the AAC, or is it better for us individually to break off and go over here to the, we'll go to Kansas, we'll go join the Big Ten. Which one's better for you? I would think, and this is the big deal here, that what it sounds like ESPN's willing to do, is okay. We're going to push this because here's the deal. If the Big 12 implodes, we don't have to pay out the money. So that's why we want this to happen.
$1 billion.
And what we're going to do for all eight of y'all to go over and join is we're going to up the media rights money for the AAC because you guys then will be a power league. That 20-team league, 19 on each side, football and basketball, that will be a power league. No, it's not what we're going to give the SEC, but we promise you it's going to be lucrative. More, and you could point out, more lucrative for you than it would be if you're trying to stay in this raggedy Big 12 that, hell, we're trying to implode anyway because we don't want to pay y'all the rest of the money through 2025. So here's the difference. It's sort of been, you've had to talk yourself into, if you're in Memphis or dream that one day the big boys are going to acknowledge you and all the work. We were just talking about with Jeff yesterday. Yeah. You're like a hamster on a wheel working hard. You announce the Liberty Bowl improvements. You're doing everything you can
party
to show
deck.
That you're right. It's one thing to hope and wish that they acknowledge you.
Yeah.
It's another thing when you've got a power like ESPN behind the scenes wanting it to happen too. Mm-hmm. If that is the case, as Dennis Dodd and Bob Bowlesby, Dennis Dodd writes and Bob Bowlesby said in his letter, basically that ESPN's been meddling. Number one, ripping this thing apart. You're sending Texas and helping send Texas and Oklahoma over to the SEC. But number two, you got plans for my remaining eight, which again would be going over the AAC. You would think about the football. You know, sure that's what drives this. But if you're in a league that sure you don't have Texas and Oklahoma, but for the most part, that's better than what you got now in the AAC by itself.
Yes, the collective is better,
isn't it? Even with the
the collective is better than the eight. Yes,
and ESPN is telling you that it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, no, you don't bring over a good football program in the Kansas Jayhawks, but you absolutely bring over a respectable one in Texas Tech, and we've
Baylor.
Seen what Iowa State has done. Mm-hmm. We've seen what Iowa State's done, and so it's an improvement from what you got. And we'll talk about this later, but the basketball side of this?
It's great.
How you like Kansas and Memphis in that matchup?
It's so good.
How would you like a Houston-Baylor Final Four teams last year?
It's nice.
Matchup.
It's very nice.
What about a West Virginia-Cincinnati? Bob Huggins going back to old school Cincy. Mm-hmm. Tulsa-Oklahoma State, SMU-Texas Tech. There's a little battle of how about those matchups in a what would be a pretty powerful AAC? Again, it just the idea that you could pull this off, to me, even thinking about it last week, was a pipe dream because it's just a hope and a dream that you can pull those, and that's a better thing for Kansas than going to the Big Ten. But if you think about it, if you've got the backing of ESPN behind you, well, that changes the conversation, right? If they're willing to say, okay, you get all eight of them, we're going to up the ante for you AAC squads, right? And listen. You stay together. Hell, no, we can't change the money right now for the contract 2025. We can't. We have to pay it out, even with Texas and Oklahoma gone. But let that thing implode, and we'll make it worth your while here over on the other side. When you got ESPN behind you, the idea that could happen, you can make is more realistic. And so that to me is what's exciting about all this. Mostly is that you got ESPN trying to help you is what it feels like. And so a huge story from Dennis Dodd and from others last night. And I heard you talking about that Brett McMurphy tweet. It said it all. Mm-hmm. It's that ESPN wants the Big 12 to implode so they can get out of that deal And sure, you pay more. You throw a little bit more into that pot with the AAC for bringing him over. It just makes all the sense in the world.
And we were wondering why Mike Oresko was being so quiet on the Western Front or the Eastern Front, right? Because we're like, well, what are we going to do? Like, we were earlier in the week when this all came up, it was sort of like, man, this is not good because Memphis is going to be on the outside looking in. And it was really quiet, right? Like, you didn't hear from the conference, or there was no statement about, well, we look forward to, and we've got our thing, and we're just... No, it was just sort of nothing. And so you're left to wonder and sort of worry live on the air, as we do, because we're reading this in real time. It's like, oh, man, we're going to be Memphis. But it turns out the power of the aggregate of your conference, and it has nothing to do with regional, from what I understand, because, you know, you could even add people on the West Coast in this mix. But it has everything to do with the collective. You got this collection of these solid schools. They're not Power Five, but they're really solid. They've got this, you know, Cincinnati, Memphis, UCF, who have a lot of value. And then you add the Iowa State, Kansas, Baylor, and you put them all together. And you got ESPN behind all of it, who's got the current TV deal and the relationship with
I think
the
AAC. You got something folks going to watch. You got something ESPN's going to pay for. Big 12 schools.
And it just so happens to work together if you look at it.
No, I don't think there's any question about it. And you develop some, you'd have some natural rivalries already there, and you potentially could develop some really good ones.
Kansas, Memphis in basketball, even in football, you got, you know, Memphis playing a Texas Tech or a TCU. That feels good. I mean, you go Fort Worth, Memphis. It's great.
Here's why it's different, guys, because Big 12, we've talked about what they make, $37 million annually in their media rights deal. According to that Dennis Dodd story, sources told CBS Sports that the Big 12's worth declined 50-75% with the defections of the Longhorns and the Sooners going over the SEC. But here's the kicker. This is the part you need to know. But as long as the Big 12 remains viable, ESPN and Fox cannot reduce the conference's rights fees under the current contract, which, as we know, runs through 2025. So that's what, even though the value would be less, ESPN would, it'd be like being underwater on your, you know what I'm saying, right, on your house. You're paying for something that's not worth it.
So what
at
you
that
do,
point? So back to the point.
Yeah.
But because I heard you point this out with Jeffrey. I went and looked. But as Brett McMurphy is who
he
tweeted
clarifies this.
Right. If the Big 12 dissolves, clearly with ESPN kind of nudging it and helping the American, then ESPN not responsible for the final 4 years of that Big 12 deal that's worth $1.06 billion.
Damn.
So see, you're stuck underwater on something. But right now, Oklahoma, Texas are leaving it. It's worth 50-75% in value of what it was. You're stuck having to pay it through 2025. So you want to get out of that, and the way you do that is by encouraging those schools and the AAC to merge. That gets you out of the $1.06 billion, and you owe them through the rest of this deal, even though the value of the Big 12 has sunk down through the through the floor. Right?
Yeah.
You recoup that $1.06 billion, and you give a little bit over to it to a new AAC that's got a Big 12. Why?
Help me with this.
You got ESPN trying to make it happen.
Let me ask you this.
Best thing ever.
So then, if it's not worth $1 billion,
the
value went down for the Big 12 schools, and let's say that they could agree to come into a new 19-school league, 20. Okay.
It's 20
plus
officially
the flip-flop
schools,
on football and basketball.
Right, you got one playing one
with
of each.
Wichita State and Navy.
And Navy.
That was
Navy doesn't play basketball.
So my question is then, so you're getting the best value out of your current home under this example, and instead of getting the 36 or the 40 million that you get as a school, your value went down, but now you get 20 each, and you still get to collect a good check, and you got your league set up. Oh, and by the way, good news for the Memphises of the world, you're also going from 15 to 20. Is that what I'm sort of I'm making up the math, but you see where I'm going.
Look what ESPN's doing here. They have exclusive rights to the ACC, will have the rights to the SEC pretty soon.
This
and
league.
And then you would have the rights to this, which would be you're not the SEC. But you were absolutely if we're going to go super conferences, this would be one of them.
And you could set up a 64 tournament even for football.
That's the point, guys, is there's the ticket. There, you're with the haves.
Right.
And it's all because ESPN wants to make it happen so they can get out of a bad deal now with the Big 12 to get in a better deal for them with the rest of the Big 12 and the AAC combined. I mean, it would be an absolute game changer. And is enough, again, to completely change my whole outlook and attitude on where Memphis might end up. I got to give, I don't know if they were going, because if
I
they
love
ever
it as
presented
a Memphis
this
fan.
Scenario, But I got to give Giannotto and Jeffrey both credit for last week trying to tell me, well, Jason, it can still be fine in the AAC. I don't think any of their scenarios included getting all of the Big 12 over or ESPN being behind you, but they're absolutely right that right now, hell yes, stand pat. And if you can be the big dog with ESPN helping you, hell, they're the ones feeding you the food in this instance, and go eat the Big 12and suck the Big 12. And eat that up and suck it up.
Take on that conference.
Oh, brother, it's a game changer, Brad. It would be just what Memphis needs. And again, a lot of this, so much of it, all of it, it really is driven by football and the money that go with these football media rights deals. But you would have what would be a fantastic basketball conference, too. And frankly, guys, I'll be real honest with you. With the AAC recently having lost UConn, right, with where it is with right now, you don't know with Cincinnati. You expect them to get back under Wes Miller, but you don't know. And then we'll see on Wichita State, who was a brand in basketball when you come over. But we'll see what they're doing under Isaac Brown. A good last year in his first year, but we'll see if that continues of what it was under Greg Marshall. My point, the AAC basketball could actually use the kick in the kick in the pants, if it would be. Use the boost. Football's already had the respect of being the best thing outside the Power Five. Your basketball league has taken a hit here the last couple of years because, let's be real, you got to look in the mirror. Memphis not being being a tournament team the last 7 years hasn't helped you there.
Sure.
And so you could absolutely use the boost that would be adding Baylor and Kansas in basketball, not to mention an Oklahoma State program that just is coming off having Cade Cunningham.
Sure.
And, there would be a lot. What, I just added Musa Cisse, too, I guess.
Well, and the other thing
there would be a lot to love on that basketball side, and it would be basketball, boy, you could put up there with, I think, the best two.
Basketball is an easy one for Memphis. My thing is, I love the idea of a game where you've got Texas Tech in Memphis or can't. The thing of it is not all of their stuff is pearls on the football side. Like, Kansas's football team is just, they're slaw. I mean, Memphis.
No, they bring no value.
No, so.
But that's why it's better. Yeah. To get the entire rest of the Big 12.
You want the whole thing.
And that's what I'm saying. How much value does Kansas really bring the Big 10? None from a football standpoint. That's why I think staying as part of the group and then having ESPN behind it is better for Kansas.
I think it is.
It's better for Kansas from that. And you can tell yourself, you know what? And forget
maybe
basketball.
Maybe the money may not be. I don't know.
But you could tell yourself, and we can compete a lot, you know, better in the AAC. Our football program that needs all the help it can than we would to go get clobbered in the Big Ten every year and just be the bottom half of that.
Yeah.
You know, going to be hard to recruit to Kansas to play football, get her butt kicked in the Big Ten. Right. That's what I'm saying?
I totally get it.
My whole point is it this would be a better option to me for Kansas than breaking off by yourself and going to a Big Ten where you're going to get clobbered and everything except basketball.
I got to be honest with you. These schools got to pray that this happens because this is the way out. Because I hate to say it that way, because the alternative is this dissolving idea is not what I was thinking of earlier this week was just not very appealing. This would be amazing. This is like a dream if they can make this happen.
So we said $37 million they're getting right now in terms of their media rights deal. What those other remaining eight teams have got to determine. No, we're not going to get 37 with Oklahoma and Texas gone. We're not going to get
that
anywhere
money's gone.
We're not going to get anywhere close to that.
That's gone.
So what's our best bet for recouping most of that? To me, it seems like all of us going and joining an AAC that now ESPN is saying it's going to pay more for.
Yep.
For Kansas,
per school.
For Kansas individually, might be you're going to get a bigger cut if you go. But that's why you would want to look at Big Ten and say, well, okay, this is more money for us. But as a whole,
could be $50 million, $40 million.
I don't
for
think,
Kansas. In the Big Ten,
if they went to the Big Ten,
right?
Yeah, but you tell me, Big Ten, the Big Ten schools right now that are already getting. Their cut of
Illinois,
it.
Iowa,
you're gonna be willing
Michigan.
You're going to be willing to shed part of your cut to give part of it to Kansas? They're not talking expansion right now. That's my whole point. How attractive really is Kansas for the Big Ten in terms of the value they bring? Is it worth you having a smaller share of the pie so that they get their piece? I don't know that necessarily is because they bring you nothing in football. They don't add anything. Sure, basketball-wise, they
do. Right.
But you're going to cut off some of your money to give to Kansas? That's what I'm saying. The more attractive option, first, Big Ten might not even be as after them as they want.
I think that's true.
But the more attractive option might be Kansas staying with the
Good
group
point.
And going over to going over the AAC that clearly is going to get more than the, what, $6-7 million
yes.
that it's getting right now. And you've got ESPN saying, hey, make this happen. We're going to up it.
God,
it won't get to 37 or the 40-something that the SEC is making now. And Lord knows got what it's going to be for the SEC once they get done with the new one. With Oklahoma and Texas in there, you're not going to get that high, but it's going to be better than $6 or $7 million with that with the Big 12 coming on over. So again, this is huge news for Memphis if it went down, because and it's huge news because again, you'd have the backing of ESPN trying to make it happen for you. Mm-hmm. That's your way. This feels like the ticket, guys. The ticket to the fun ride and to the haves instead of the have-nots. This feels like it. AAC, Mike Oresko, I'll never be a bigger fan of you. If you can get this done, go suck up the Big 12. And, man, you have got I don't know if it's a super conference, but it is one of the big power conferences if that can happen.
Next story.
All right, you see Aaron Rodgers yesterday, 32 minutes of greatness.
Did I ever. I watched all of it in its glory.
And he laid it all out and basically said, if I'm bottom lining it, he wanted to be more involved.
Yeah.
Right? He was a guy who feels like, and he laid it out there, how he feels about himself, how he feels about Green Bay in terms of, I mean, you could say he kind of took a shot at Green Bay in terms of...
And the market, too, like the people of it a little bit.
You could say that's a shot that he says, people ain't coming to Green Bay just for Green Bay, basically. They're coming for me to play with me. But is it not the truth? I don't know if it was necessary.
Do you need to take a shot at Joe Fano, is my thing.
He wasn't much into spin in this press conference.
No, hell no.
And he was keeping it real. And for the most part, it's right? It's the chance to win.
I get it.
For those free agents they're signing, it's the chance to go to Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers so you can win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is not there, are you picking Green Bay?
And a storied franchise, but it's Aaron Rodgers.
So his point was, if they're coming for me, I should be more involved in the conversations. Right. If they're cutting the second best receiver I've had in camp, this offseason, this training camp, then I should be involved in those conversations. I'm a three-time MVP. He didn't bring up that he's only won one Super Bowl, but listen, one Super Bowl is better than me and you guys.
He did say I'm the MVP.
But he said I'm a three-time MVP. And he said, you know, there are exceptions to the rule.
Sure.
Everybody's treated equally, but there are exceptions, and there should be ones, he said, for three-time MVPs, to the point where I'm not making – at least he said publicly, I'm not making it, but you need to include me in the conversations.
Yeah, I need
and
to
you
be
know
involved.
What? He's right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And he laid out all these examples of when he wasn't or when they made the decision without him.
Yep.
And even for Green Bay fans, like I've pointed out, there have been a few who have contacted me that have been frustrated with Aaron and the fact that you did this for a second consecutive offseason, him expressing his unhappiness. Now it was, he doesn't come to mandatory training camp,
mini
all that
camp,
kind of
yeah.
mini camp, all that stuff, whatever. And you've been feeling a certain kind of way toward him because he feels like he's been doing this to you for a while. When he opens up the book like this, opens up the books.
And the clip.
And lets you see how he... You know, decision for decision, he was not involved.
No.
Where are they doing that at? What other franchise would have not included Aaron Rodgers?
No, it's too many. It's
their three-time MVP in those conversations.
It's too much.
He had graduated to that.
Yeah.
And so I get it. Now you see why. This clearly was not a money thing. They offered to make him give him a two-year extension, hold him there through the next 5 years, make him the highest-paid quarterback in the league. It's not what he wants. Mm-hmm. He wanted to have the respect. That Tom, like I said, it's the Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He wanted to have that respect, that ability to weigh in on decisions. He didn't get it, and that's why I think that whole tone yesterday, he was giving you the record. Okay, here's where they've gone wrong. Here's what I've tried to do. That didn't happen, and this is essentially why I'm going to only be here for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to, like we talked about, go check out that Instagram, him and Devontae Adams posting the Jordan and the mic. It looks like Last Dance type stuff. And to that point, I guess if you're a Green Bay fan, you got to be – You know, you understand now with him having laid out, okay, well, you know, this doesn't seem like normal treatment for a star quarterback. So maybe you're a little bit more back on it. You better enjoy it while it lasts, your chance here, because it feels like you're only going to have one more year, you know, Aaron Rodgers trying to win it. And you were coming off an MVP season. You see, they went out and got his old boy, Randall Cobb.
They got Cobb, and they made deals to get that done for
went
him.
Went out and got
he
Randall Cobb for him.
For him.
He asked for it. I mean, frankly, you should have been doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
But one more season, we'll
now,
see if they
maximize
it.
Now, here's my thing about Cobb on that trade, though. You better go play, go ball out now.
Well, he's an old wily vet. He'll be like a third and long,
slots.
And you haven't covered him all game, and now he gets open.
But that's my thing, though. And
four
again,
catches for 55 yards.
I agree with you. It is indefensible that you didn't run this crap by Aaron Rodgers because he's your star. But the thing of it is, one reporter asked him, he's like, now you realize all these players you met, and he mentioned a bunch of them, Jason. There was like 10 dudes. He's like, this guy and this guy and this guy. Like, there's no guarantee they'd have been awesome if they stayed in Green Bay, you know? And no, realize he'd be throwing to them and he'd have the whole culture thing going. But like that, it ain't a straight rope, you know? It's just not.
The lesson is Green Bay. You should have more than two Super Bowls with a back-to-back.
That's true. Now, some of that is on him, too. Like, run the ball in last year, you might have been in another round,
yeah.
you know? Like, It's you saw it, too.
About 30 seasons, because, again, Aaron Rodgers wasn't the starter when he was initially brought to Green Bay. He was there to – he watched Favre there for a few seasons. But you basically had three decades here, two Super Bowls.
Do you think
you'd like to
a...
have more when they're both back-to-back Hall of Famers? So, again, enjoy this one because it feels like it's going to be the
is
last
there a little? I agree with a lot of Aaron, and he's a stud. Is there a little bit of prima donna in him?
No, there have been times where I thought maybe so and kind of enjoyed it. But when you've won to the level that he has, you're allowed to do that.
You get to be like
Tom Brady, you know, it's different because he's got seven Super Bowls, I suppose, and Aaron just won. But we hold them both in high regard.
Yeah.
And he gets away with cursing, you know, everybody out on the sidelines, play up to my level, all that kind of stuff.
That's true.
Aaron Rodgers, you know, having this, you know, being willing to hold your GM and doing it publicly, holding them accountable, oh, you're not including me, I don't see how that's much different. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
That's fair.
The other point is he's a three-time MVP. He's earned the right to be a diva. And frankly, I'm not sure it's diva, you know, it's diva attitude when you look at what he's laid out. It's really Green Bay screwing this up.
Yeah.
Most of Patriots gave Tom Brady for the most part, and Tom Brady did his part taking pay cuts, but they, you know, until the end there, and Belichick felt like he could win without him. They were doing for Tom Brady. Put the pieces around him that we need, put it all together, boom, it's six Super Bowls. It doesn't feel like, from everything that Aaron just laid out, that he was ever part of putting that plan together. I got to know Tom Brady was.
Yeah.
Hell, he's picking guys in Tampa Bay, he's picking guys in New England.
He's bringing them along.
But how as a franchise, did you not have him more involved? It was eye-opening to see,
I see
the many different instances of that Aaron had so much of an axe to grind, and really a true axe to grind. It felt like, Green Bay, you blew this. Hope you win a Super Bowl this year, because y'all are due for a bad quarterback. I'm sorry. As a Bears
Next
fan,
story.
I'm putting that curse on you.
Sorry, there.
Next story.
Did you see this? Lamar
the Bears
Odom.
Curse. Nice.
Lamar Odom is back in the boxing ring.
Oh.
And he's apparently, I missed the first one, but he did win.
As in the Kardashian Lamar Odom?
Yes.
Yes.
As in that Lamar Odom.
That Lamar?
Who at one time was with, I believe that was Khloe.
Yeah, Brad. Khloe, the third Kardashian.
Because, again, Lamar Odom is a guy who at one time was in real trouble.
I thought he was going to die.
Had the OD thing, and Khloe was a big part, I guess, of getting him on back. But
Riddick Bowe?
Yes.
What?
He won't win his next fight, is what I'm saying. Lamar Odom won't.
No.
Yeah, in June 2021 of this year, he knocked out Aaron Carter in the second round of their fight. I did not see that fight, okay? But Lamar Odom has won one, and this will be his second one. Stepping back into the boxing ring, supposed to fight heavyweight champ or former heavyweight champ. Obviously, he's now 53 years old. Riddick Bowe. Yes.
He's a bruiser, man.
Yes.
He's scary looking.
Dan Feldman tells TMZ Sports they've inked a deal pitting the 6'10". Lamar Odom is now 41 years old, former NBA player, against 53-year-old Riddick Bowe. I'm not excited to see this. I got to be honest with you. These celebrity matchups,
this is how they
so
do
far,
these fights now.
They're making money and people are watching them, but I have not been one of them. I have not been one of them. Problem for real boxing is that these are getting more popular than actual boxing. Set aside UFC,
sure,
which has a huge following and seems to only be growing. Boxing right now is absolutely struggling with draws. That's why a Mayweather can come out and make all that money against Jake Paul, whatever the Paul brother he beat.
Yeah.
Is because it's more of a celebrity thing to watch these things and see, okay, who's going to fall on their face.
Yeah.
Boxing has got a real big issue that now this has become more of the draw. People want to see Lamar Odom in a boxing ring again and watch him. In this case, I think he's going to get a chance to get really hurt against Riddick Bowe, a real fighter. Ain't no Aaron Carter.
I think both sports have changed, though, because like I used to follow the UFC when you had like all these studs, you know, like, I don't know, like Matt Hughes was part of that. The real guys from the 90s. There are no guys now. So, like, actually, I watch this stuff, these celebrity fights. Like, it's the closest thing that I would care about. But I don't have Fight TV. Do you have Fight TV on your Super Box?
I do not have Fight. What?
F-I-T.
FITE.TV?
Fight TV. Yeah, it sounds kind of low budge.
I'm not sure if I've got this one on Super Box.
Is this on the box?
To be honest with you. I get all the
UFC
fights.
I've never seen Fight TV.
I've never pulled up Fight TV, so I'm not real sure. What I'm going to do is pray for Lamar Odom. And listen, he's already had a miracle. You know, the miracle of life, basically, with as close to death as he got. Mm-hmm. God's already been good to Lamar Odom. I'm going to pray that God's good to him through this fight. Because, Riddick Bowe going to be slower than he was as a former heavyweight champ back in the day, back in his prime.
Yeah.
But this dude, if he hits you, though, that's the problem.
Yeah.
If he hits you one time with one of those slow punches, you could be back close to death if you're Lamar Odom. Not joking at all. Like, you could seriously hurt yourself doing this against somebody who really used to do this for a living in Riddick Bowe. So, Lamar Odom, like I said, I'm going to pray for you, brother. Sounds like a next story.
Okay.
Sounds like prayer. Next story. Prayer might be needed. No joking about a, what, I don't know what's going on with Jackson Hayes. Did you see this story?
It was what he got in an altercation.
New Orleans Pelicans center. It was the number overall pick 2 years ago in the NBA draft.
Which
was arrested.
Pick?
Number eight overall, 2019. Pelicans still have high hopes for him. Was arrested after an altercation with police.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it was yesterday. Apparently got so heated that he got into a brawl with fights. This 6'11". A brawl with cops. This 6'11", 220-pound Hayes. Yes. Used to play for Texas.
Okay.
If you're familiar.
I remember him. He's kind of got Sideshow Bob hair.
Sideshow Bob hair, super long. A couple of nasty dunks last season, too.
He's a great athlete,
looks
actually.
He's going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Got booked for felony battery on a police officer. Cops are investigating. I think the officer that he got into the fight with even had to be treated. Their condition at this point still unknown. But yeah, there was the brawl. Apparently, at least according to TMZ, was so intense when they went to this home and Jackson tried to keep him out that police put out an officer needs help radio call. So I don't know in what state of mind he was in, but got into some trouble and we'll see. I mean, you thought Jackson Hayes, you know, for the most part, I thought coming out of Texas. Guy, you didn't have to, you know, guy that's going to do the right things off the floor, all that kind of stuff. So we don't know what kind of state of mind he was in. But fighting with cops.
You got a domestic situation that they're investigating, it says.
Pelican said they're aware of the incident, have to be. And they're working with Hayes reps right now to get more information. I don't know, again, what's going to, in terms of what charge he will ultimately face, right? Because charges can get, you know, dropped a little bit, dropped lower, whatever else. I don't know what he's going to face, but I know that this seems pretty serious when you're fighting a cop.
Yeah, you can't fight with cops.
This might be something the Pelicans
are having to deal
with. He's
lucky they didn't pull a gun or something crazy.
This might not be just a slap on the wrist and a probation. Yeah. This might be something they have to deal with. So we'll see what happens to Jackson Hayes after a very weird story of him being arrested outside of an apartment where some screaming was heard and everything else. We'll see. Be interesting to see what kind of details come out surrounding this going forward. I got another.
Next story.
Congratulations to Sunisa Lee.
Oh.
Wins gold for the U.S. in gymnastics. The gymnastics all around that we were all talking about yesterday with Simone Biles out. We were talking about Simone withdrawing from that individual all-around competition. Mm-hmm. Left room for others to step up. And in this case, Sunisa Lee has done that.
She did it.
It is good, man. You're passing the torch, right?
It's an American.
Edged Rebeca Andrade of Brazil to win the gold in this instance. And, yes, you get these new faces of women's gymnastics in the U.S. women's gymnastics have sort of already been introduced during the team competition, but it's nice now to see sort of the torch being handed over. And again, this torch wouldn't have been passed if 24-year-old Simone Biles, you know, competes in the individual all-around where she was heavily favored as originally planned, but she did not, citing mental health, citing the pressure that she was facing, pulled out of it, and it allowed, in this case, Sunisa Lee, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, to step up and win gold. And like we said, sort of the passing of the torch. That's kind of how it's happened with women's gymnastics for years now, has been that sort of
passing the torch to the next star.
And hopefully for Lee, this is the beginning of that. Listen, we've sort of had our Simone Biles takes. We should all be supporting her at this point. That's not new news. I think we said yesterday, best thing you could do was look at what some of those other, you know, gymnasts that had been in her shoes talked about and how dangerous it is that if you make those jumps and those vaults, not having
I listened to Gary talk about this yesterday. It's just very dangerous. You've got to be 100%
in. If there's any kind of second guessing, you can not only threaten your career,
but you
can threaten to have a potentially life-changing injury.
Makes sense.
And so you cannot go out there if you're not ready. Those gymnasts pretty backed her up. Mm-hmm. How can you be more mad at her than her teammates are? In this case, it presented a great opportunity for Sunisa Lee. And so, again, congratulations to her. Last I looked, Brad.
I got the medal count.
Last I looked, U.S. was on top of that.
38 total medals. We are number one. We are third, though, with golds. We're at 14. We're tied. There are two tied for first. You got China and Japan with 15, U.S. with 14. But we lead in silver and bronze. We have the most overall medals, though, with 38. China has 31.
How about that?
How about that?
We'll take that thing over. And hopefully we're winning golds by the time that thing is all done. Sunisa Lee helping us in that objective, winning gold for USA Gymnastics in the all-around at the Tokyo Olympics. All right, we got to get back to Grizzlies draft. Still plenty more of that. We'll do it with Joe Mullinax at 125. as well. He's got his Grizzly draft preview up at grizzlybearblues.com. Go check that out. We'll talk to him, do more at 125. We'll be back. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com, and with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road. The best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
/125, we're going to talk to Joe Mullinax, site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. Go check him out right now, grizzlybearblues.com. He's got his Memphis Grizzlies draft primer up. We'll help you get ready for tonight. Draft 6 p.m. You can hear it right here on 99 FM ESPN. Before we do that, though, we're going to talk about why that third reason I was so giddy this morning coming into work. That third reason.
Third assistant? Is that where we're going with this?
Correct. 20-minute conversation this morning as I was driving into work that almost made me forget about the fact that it's Grizzlies draft night and the fact that that Memphis might be looking at an AAC that eventually has eight Big 12 members in it in a super conference as written by Dennis Dodd. Those are two big stories, and they're two big stories we spent a great deal of time on today. Mm-hmm. But this third story, the thing, again, I'll tell you, 20 minutes talking about this on the phone driving in that got me even extra giddy, is who Penny Hardaway might be looking at for that third assistant spot. Doesn't sound like it might be anymore in terms of who he's looking at. Sounds like it's at a point now where it's, can it get approved? Can
you
it get
a
it
name?
Approved
you got
with
a name?
Laird Veach? Yes,
you got
I got a name for you.
Okay.
Now, typically this would be, we've sort of handed over these duties because he's been so good at it and because he's so plugged in to the great John Martin. Now, John Martin, who brought you Larry Brown, by the way? Was right all the way through
delivered
that thing.
Delivered him to you.
Now he's here. He's signed up. He's got a contract, all that stuff. But John Martin not here, is he?
No, he's...
Where's John Martin?
It's a good
He's
question.
On paternity leave right now. And even though he's working for us, clearly, and broke some news yesterday about Memphis's investments or what they hope to eventually with the city invest in the Liberty Bowl, $40 to $50 million. You had that story from John Martin yesterday on paternity leave. This is usually his area when we're talking about the staff.
You're getting really giddy over there. You are excited.
Take a little bit of the
we got
lead
a
here.
Hell of a prelude here,
because for 20
Jason.
Minutes, I talked about the possibility coming into here with a person who I believe is very plugged in.
Yep.
Noah is still plugged in, remains plugged in.
All right.
20 minutes, I talked about the possibility of Penny Hardaway possibly adding Rasheed Wallace, the former NBA forward, to his staff.
Hey, that is a hell of a name there.
It's funny, because when we last saw Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace.
Who, as far as I know here, most recently has been working with his Sheed Wallace Select grassroots team. So has been at the grassroots level coaching. When last we saw him, we were actually talking about it here on the show. He had a podcast up. You might be able to pull this up, Brad.
Okay.
Because I don't have it pulled up and I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. It's him and Bonzi Wells and Penny Hardaway. The name of it, though, escapes me right now. But when we last saw it,
Let's get technical.
That's it. That's it. Because you got, of course, Rasheed and you got Bonzi Wells, two of the technical foul kings during their NBA days. Yeah. Bonzi and Rasheed Wallace spent that podcast interviewing Penny Hardaway. Remember, they were in town for the Iverson Classic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got it here as a 27-minute podcast.
Right, and we can't nail it down to what point it is right now. This is all live radio. We may do it later.
Yeah.
But at some point, Rasheed and Penny and Bonzi, they all start talking about coaching and opportunities for former NBA guys like Penny Hardaway, and they start talking about coaching ranks and that kind of thing. So if you start putting the dots together, again, Rasheed just with Penny not long ago, Rasheed interested clearly in coaching, Rasheed who's been at the grassroots level, and guys, Rasheed Wallace, who played for Larry Brown, right? Won a title with Larry Brown.
Yep.
2004. It wasn't just Ben Wallace. The other Wallace brother on that team was Rasheed Wallace.
Damn, man.
Larry Brown was the coach of that team, I believe, in 2004. Mm-hmm. That's his NBA title right there. Rasheed Wallace was on that team that won an NBA title with him. Again, we have talked about and sort of assumed for a long time it's going to be somebody like Todd, someone that Penny knows already, whether that's promoting Rodney Hamilton, pushing him up from director of basketball operations, whether it's bringing in a Todd Day, whether it's bringing in a Faraji Phillips to what feels like replace.
Yep.
Again, Penny hasn't made it official with Jermaine Johnson, but to replace Jermaine Johnson, who was on a 1 year. We've talked about those names and why that was probably very likely, especially as you get closer and closer to the season, because Memphis has this IARP thing hanging over it in terms of who you could go out and get right now. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit limited.
It's
one of the reasons why Larry made so much sense again, because Penny's already got the relationship, feels good about where they're set.
Right.
You were already trying to hire him, hell, since the day you were hired. Rasheed Wallace, who clearly you could tell from the podcast has a great respect for what Penny's already accomplished, right, might have some other suitors. We don't know. But if you look at this, it's funny. I don't know who the ABC report is, but this tweet was pointed out to me in my 20-minute conversation before work, too, talking about Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah.
The ABC report a few days ago asked the question, will Rasheed Wallace be entering the college ranks? And he goes on to tweet. Nobody, I think one person liked the tweet. Nobody saw it.
Yeah.
But he goes on and said the addition of Sheed to this staff that this person is speaking of, they don't name the staff, would certainly make them the most interesting staff in the country. Would Memphis be among the most interesting? Hell, you can make an argument it already is. How interesting would it be if it had Penny Hardaway, Larry Brown, Cody Toppard, who was just in the NBA with the Phoenix Suns, considered one of the best development guys in the NBA now on your staff, and Rasheed Wallace?
I mean, it's a lock for the NBA deal.
Rasheed Wallace now wants to coach. Rasheed Wallace, who and has been making efforts, to do that with his grassroots team. There's a lot of reasons it would line up, you know.
Yeah.
And again, if this is just a matter of Penny getting it through, let's say Penny has determined he wants a Rasheed Wallace on his staff. If it's a matter of Penny getting it through, Laird Veach. Well, if Laird Veach ultimately gave you the stamp on Larry Brown, is he going to stand in the way of adding a Rasheed Wallace to the staff? No, it only adds to what you're selling, which is NBA, which is we've got the guys to get you there. There's already the connections when you talk about Rasheed and Larry Brown and their time together. Hell, there's already some chemistry already there. He played for them. Not to mention, here's the other thing. Guess who's from Philly?
Rasheed Wallace got that Philly connection for all those recruits.
Guess who's from Philly that they want? Jalen Duren is from Philly.
It's perfect.
Jalen Duren, who is expected to reclassify to 2021, number one prospect in the class of 2022 right now, and just helped Team Final win a Peach Jam title, is from Philly.
Right.
Right? So you've already tried to use and hoped that it's had some impact, Larry Brown, to help you in terms of your pitch to Jalen Duren. Mm-hmm. How about telling Jalen Duren that, you know what, right now the plan is to have a guy, Rasheed Wallace. How many All-Star games Rasheed make?
I can look it up.
How many All-Star games? He made four All-Star games to go with NBA champion.
It is an NBA.
How about that in your pitch
dream.
To Jalen Duren that now
Gosh,
we've added Rasheed Wallace, all-star level big man in the NBA, to our staff as well to help you out. So even if you didn't think before that we had enough coaching with the only man that's won an NCAA title, NBA title, with me, Penny Hardaway, who the last two seasons has had the one of the top five defenses in the country, with Cody Toppert, once thought as one of the best developmental guys, how about I just added a big man coach to my staff that can help you too? How does that look to Jalen Duren? So anyway, again, not reporting that this will happen, but from what I've heard, and again, enough to get excited about it, it feels like Rasheed Wallace might definitely be in play for Penny Hardaway over at Memphis.
A couple things about Rasheed after I looked at his Wikipedia, because, clearly in Memphis we're still getting acclimated to the name, and he's obviously got a great relationship with Penny and obviously with Larry Brown. I didn't realize he was a high school coach recently. Back in 19, it says he was a varsity coach.
That's right. Wasn't it in North Carolina somewhere?
North Carolina. He was at Charles Jordan High School. He was their varsity coach. In 2013, he was he's on a staff member with Detroit. He was on that staff with Stan Van Gundy there with the Pistons. So he's got some coaching in his background.
He's been
too.
Almost working, it feels like, toward this,
it's
much
kind of
like Penny Hardaway was working his way up.
Feels a little
and
bit
it
like
felt it. Like in watching that podcast, what'd you say the name of it again for folks that are listening can go back and find something? Let's Get Technical, I think you said it was.
Let's Get Technical.
We talked about it when they did the podcast. Again, they were here for the Iverson Classic. There was a glimmer and a gleam in his eye when he talked about coaching with Penny Hardaway. Almost as if this is a man who's decided, you know what, this is what I want to do, and one day I want to be like Penny and coach in my own I want to be like Juwan Howard and have my own deal. This would be a way in. Now, I'm sure, again, since he's been angling toward this for a while, it feels like, both at the high school and the grassroots level, that there would be other staffs potentially interested in hiring a guy like Rasheed Wallace. I mean, who wouldn't want a Rasheed Wallace who's made the decision, I want to be a coach, on their staff?
Sure.
It would absolutely be a plus for your staff. He's selling NBA. He's your big
man's
coach.
That is an exciting name, Jason.
But, so much of what they've done, and Penny can. I mean, he can break, he knows the game, break it down for bigs, he can break it down for guards. But if you think about it, you could have Penny with the guards, Toppert with the guards, he formerly worked with Devin Booker, all that kind of stuff. And on the other end,
Sheed with that big man.
You literally have a big man coach.
Yeah.
Like,
Penny, great.
Penny's a coach, and Lord knows he coached point guards, and ask Quentin Grimes what he did for him in terms of trying to learn the point guard position. But think about that. If there's anything that somebody outside of Memphis could say, well, y'all, they don't have a big man coach. If there was, it was that. And now, if you did this, you could. I mean, is that not
you
the
have
most
the NBA
interesting
lot
staff
for
in the country?
Thing. Yeah, it's great.
And if it's enough, and landing Jalen Duren would be even more evidence of that. A Jalen Duren, who at one time we were saying, oh, man, no way. He's got a $1 million offer from the G League. Like, why would you go? First off, why would you pick college?
Yeah.
And then now that, Kentucky, Miami, who hired his coach, his high school and grassroots coach, they got him on the staff, might probably be a long shot. But when you got a staff like this, maybe that's one of the reasons why they feel like they're so close to landing Jalen Duren. Because, again, you've got an NBA staff.
Sheed in there.
Big man coach, guards coach. You got all-stars. You got an NBA champion coach in Larry Brown. That's hard to turn. That would be a hard pitch to turn down. Word in the street is that Penny Hardaway considering, or at least at this point, maybe even has zeroed in and just wants to get it through.
Yeah.
Rasheed Wallace, four-time NBA all-star, for that open assistant coaching position right now, that look officially is not
it's just
open,
right?
No, officially is not open, because I think if you go look on the website, Jermaine Johnson's still listed as one. But see, Penny's had months and weeks to finalize Jermaine for a second year, has not done that. That's why this feeling that he's going to go out and go get a third one has been there.
Do you
the
think
entire
he's in,
time.
You don't think he's in a hurry? Is what you're thinking? I mean, you just kind of chill out and you just let your staff handle it.
Well, I don't think he's in a hurry, Brad, because the process is different because of the IRP. It's not a typical thing where you're going to go scour the land, the entire country for assistance, because you're not going to
get an established sitting
who doesn't
assistant
know
coach.
The future of the future of the program is because of the because
well,
of
she'd
what,
be
where
perfect.
The IRP
I mean, she'd that. Presumably she may not
she'd,
care as much
she'd,
about that.
Much like Larry would be trusting his relationship with Penny would be trusting in this sense. Okay, well, if it goes bad, maybe perhaps I can jump to another one.
Right.
Do in this case, you hear there was some NBA interest. It sounds like in Rasheed, perhaps not as a full time assistant, but somewhere on the staff.
Yeah.
And so again, I think he's very attractive. There's no question, not just to Memphis, right. but to others, but back to the point. Because of your relationship with him, because of his with Larry, you would have that chance, it feels like, to jump on it and maybe be priority number one. So it's very exciting. Again, not saying that this is going to get done. Sort of like
Rasheed Wallace.
Much like Memphis had to get Larry Brown past their AD, you know, past all the administrators and high. It took a while, right? Feels like perhaps this is, again, you don't get the baggage with Rasheed, so you feel like the process could be a lot sooner. I just don't know if it's on Laird, like it feels like that where it's at now, I don't know why you wouldn't.
No hold up.
At this point.
There's no
You've
hold
up told
there.
Penny you support him both publicly and privately. You've gone out and stamped the Larry Brown hire as sort of evidence of that. If Penny Hardaway wants Rasheed Wallace, why would you not?
You can get that done.
Make that happen.
It's great.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.